Academy FM Folkestone.
Biz Connect,
the show that promotes and connects businesses.
Well, hello everybody, and welcome to the first ever Biz Connect show, business show on Academy 105.9 FM with myself, Martin White, and my fabulous co-host,
Tracy Westall.
Tracy and I are going to be talking to you today about some of the local business news that's going on. There'll be some kind of lockdown topics in there, I'm sure. But we've also got two fabulous guest interviews today. Tracy, who have we got on the show?
We've got Chris Broom from Discovery Park in Sandwich, along with Brian Downton from Downton and Alley.
Brilliant. And we look forward to that a little bit later on in the show. But for now, I think we're going to start off with some music. And that's Gloria by Laura Branigan. See you on the other side of this. Thank you.
105.9 Academy FM.
Biz Connect.
Promoting and connecting businesses in Kent and around the world.
Tweet us at Kent_biz.
Academy FM Folkestone.
Biz Connect.
The show that promotes and connects businesses.
Well, welcome back, everybody. We hope you enjoyed that little bit of music there. Tracy, it's fabulous to be in our new studio, isn't it?
I know, it's lovely.
It's ever so swanky. We've got lots of buttons and dials and computer screens. We don't know what any of it means. So we hope we're on air today. but we may not be, but I'm sure we are. Tell us, Tracy, we've got three parts to the show, really. One is we're going to have a bit of a conversation about some of the kind of local business issues that are going on, not just in Folkestone, but obviously around our glorious county. We've got music, but we're going to have a couple of guest interviews as well that we mentioned earlier, which is always exciting. And
yes,
and the whole idea behind that, listener, is to kind of hopefully offer you some advice in terms of, oh, I didn't know that, and you know, it's good to know that I can ask that question and get some answers to it. So there's a little bit of that, but I think what we normally do, as I said, is we kick off with some kind of local business news which may be of interest. So Tracy, tell us what's kind of caught your eye this week. What's out there?
Well, obviously Saturday was Super Saturday, where lots of places opened their doors to the public. Pubs and restaurants, as well as the hairdressers.
Did you go?
No, but I do have an appointment. I'm so pleased to have an appointment at the end of the month. It's been very interesting. My friend actually owns a salon, and it's been really interesting watching her start to really look at the implications of how to open her salon and the stress and anxiety it's also caused, because obviously she has quite a few staff members and just the way she's actually put it all together, have to get the all the screens ready and disposable towels and gloves and masks and visors and even when they tried them all out last week, they said that it was very hot. So when the weather warms up and they're all cladded out in all this COVID gear, it's going to be really hot for them. But she did say that when she opened her doors on Saturday and Sunday, her clientele base were really happy that they could actually come in and see the girls. So it's been really a roller coaster ride, and I'm sure that's the same said for any of the other businesses out there. And you know, obviously pubs have been open, and it must be very strange to try and drink with social distancing. I know that there have been reports of some issues over the weekend, but I'm sure that most of us here in our county have been quite sensible.
I think there was a very telling quote from the Metropolitan Police Commissioner or somebody like that up in London at the weekend, and I think it came on the back of, you know, obviously lots of people gathering in Soho on Saturday night, and I think they came out with a classic quote that it's impossible for drunk people to socially distance.
I'll be interested to see how many people actually had really bad hangovers on Sunday morning.
Yeah. But as you say, I mean, it's been an incredibly stressful time for any hospitality business.
Yes.
Any beauty business. I mean, beauty salons per se still aren't able to open.
I know.
It's just hairdressers, isn't it?
And
been able to open.
You're right, and it's really weird because I was listening to the news this morning, and obviously Ireland have opened up tattoo parlours, hairdressers, pubs and everything today, as well as beauty. Quite frankly, I'm not too sure why they've differentiated hair from beauty. It's to my mind, it's a bit silly, and I know that there's a huge amount of people that work in the holistic and beauty area are just really struggling to you know, keep their business going, keep the passion there as well. They seem to be battered down quite a bit, and I've been talking to a lot of people in that area of business over the last couple of weeks, and their massive frustration of not being able to open.
Well, we know a local lady, don't we? Wendy.
Yeah, Wendy Flanagan.
Wendy Flanagan, who was on our call, our catch-up call last week, and you know, she's obviously one of those incredibly frustrated salon owners who isn't able to open at the moment.
Yeah.
I believe they were targeting a date of kind of mid-July for that.
Yes.
But it's still leisure centres and places like that that still aren't able to open. So hopefully, if we can all be sensible and continue to kind of do the right things, then hopefully all of that will follow in super quick time. But I know you've had your eye on theatres and the arts today as well.
Yes. I mean, who doesn't love going to the theatre? They've been really bashed about. Obviously, they've lost millions and millions of pounds. The whole entertainment industry, even from making films and stuff, they've had a real bad few months. But obviously, the government released over the weekend that they're going to pump $1.5 billion into emergency measures to save the arts scene. Some of that money is going to obviously come into our county.
A lot, hopefully. I mean, you know, Folkestone, we've got the Marlowe in Canterbury, obviously. We've got Theatre Royal in Margate. I mean, we've got some fabulous, really old historic venues that, you know, we need to see them open their doors again. And,
most definitely.
You know, and not fall by the wayside.
Yeah, and it's all those people just think, oh, it's only affecting the world-known actors out there. But, you know, behind the scenes, you've got the people that work in the box office, you've got the cleaners, the people that make the food, you've got box office staff, you've also got the sound engineers, the lighting engineers, all the technicians, you've got costume makers, wig makers, the list goes on, and every single person that's worked within the entertainment industry in one way or another has had been really, really effective. And I just hope these emergency measures can help save these businesses out there, because they are a business. They provide us with really good entertainment. Unfortunately, there are a small few number of theatres that have unfortunately now closed their doors and gone dark, as they say, in the theatre world.
Which kind of begs the question, why did it take so long to announce what is, you know, in the big scheme of things, considering we had an £80 billion budget deficit in May.
Yes.
You know, $1.5 billion in the big scheme of things isn't a huge amount of money. Why is it taking so long?
I really don't know. And what really gets me is that I actually saw a photo on Facebook over the weekend that showed a packed plane of people going, you know, you can now take a flight over to Spain or wherever, but you cannot be in a venue with that amount of people at such close proximity, but you can actually fly on a plane. So what is the real difference about that? It just seems that there are some thoughts behind that this is necessary for our economic stability, whereas other things are not so much. But I know that
you can't think purely in those terms, can you?
No,
I mean,
and it's
without culture,
relative.
Without the arts, without music, you know, what have we got? You know, will we just go to work, you know, 5 days a week and then stay home at the weekends? Or something? I mean, you know, what is there without that?
I mean, it's part of our culture. I mean, I love going to see gigs, whether it be a band in a pub, live events, big venues, even down to, you know, big events like Glastonbury and Reading Festival and all of that kind of thing. You know, and hopefully they will all be back full in force next year. But, you know, it has a massive impact. And, you know, a lot of us do love going to see these things. It doesn't have to be in a big, flash, swanky London theatre.
Right.
It can be in a a small venue, mm-hmm. you know, and that's the big thing. You know?
Or a small music venue.
Exactly.
You know, anything really. So it's very much welcome news. But I know something else has caught your eye in terms of specific kind of support and initiatives for Kent. So tell us a little bit about that. What's going on there?
Well,
there's a campaign, isn't
there? Yes, it's a campaign by KCC called Moving Forward for Kent, and the FSB are also backing this initiative, and it's really trying to help and campaign alongside businesses to make sure that they recover from the economic impact that this pandemic has caused them. Mm. And it's for all different kinds of businesses, organisations, all shapes, sizes. They can all join in, and they're asking businesses to follow, first of all, step guide, which is to use a campaign hashtag for Kent on all your social media posts, and also use campaign images which can be found on the KCC government website, Moving Forward for Kent. They're also asking to use the phrase Moving Forward for Kent in all the communications and marketing, and also share and support all those posts by other people doing the same initiative. Mm-hmm. And you know, I always say that to help build a good marketing impact for people is to share or like a post on social media of a place that you go and buy something from, or you know the people within that business. Mm. And that is free. That doesn't cost you anything but a little time just to click a like button and reshare and maybe put your comments about what great service and great products they have.
What a super idea.
Really simple. Mm. Yeah.
So get behind it and you know, and support your smaller local businesses. And I think, you know, the government have been quite clear that it is local suppliers who are going to be critical in the economic recovery, because, you know, your kind of longer lead time supply chain stuff isn't necessarily going to work.
No.
You know, the whole supply chain has been disrupted. And
massively.
So businesses are going to need to work, you know, more locally with each other and collaborate and actually, you know, continue to be able to provide their products and their services. So,
and
as consumers, you know, as the public, we need to get behind that, obviously, and shout about it, don't we?
And I think what's really nice is that some people I've been talking to over the last few months, they've all decided that, do you know what, buying local, buying from a small business, they realise now that these small businesses, it's about putting food on their table and helping that family pay their mortgage or their rent. And that is their business, you know. It literally gets straight to the people that are in that business. It's not for a shareholder. It's not for CEOs to get big bonuses when a business is failing. It literally has a massive impact on a family. Mm-hmm. And also you get the really nice service and everything else that comes with it. And I've, you know, small businesses to me, your little coffee shops, your little cake shops, your hairdressers, your beauty salons, your tattooists,
ironmonger, could be anything.
Ironmonger, do you know what? We lost what ours years ago in the town I live in. And it was one of them places, if you wanted four screws, you can go and buy four screws, not a whole pack that you're never going to use. You know, and there are businesses out there that do this, like shoe menders. And, you know, there's some brilliant, brilliant
key
businesses.
Cutters, locksmiths, all sorts of fabulous little businesses.
Exactly.
And again, I think, you know, that was high on the government agenda last week, Tracy, wasn't it? You know, Boris was talking about how, we need to move commerce out of the big cities.
Yes.
You know, the London metropolis, for example, in the southeast, and we need to invest in the infrastructure in smaller towns outside of those big kind of metropolis, you know, urbanisations, and we need to invest in cycle lanes, in parks, in broadband infrastructure, and we really need to kind of build up that local, more local economy. So all of this, you know, fits in well with that, doesn't it?
Oh, most definitely. And it also brings a community together. I mean, during this pandemic, one of the big things has been able to bring your community together. I now speak to so many more of my neighbours than I ever did before. And we get together, we always say good morning or hello. You know, we were doing shopping for one another. It was just such a great way to live, yeah. And it's been a long time coming. Mm.
I mean, look
fairness.
At the way we all stood outside our houses, you know, every Thursday and clapped for the NHS. Yeah. You know, we don't want to lose that now. You know, we've kind of discovered something there, and that's why I think this, you know, the arts sector support that's been announced is so critical there as well, because you know, those kinds of venues are, you know, in many ways they are the hub of the community.
Yes.
So that's all encouraging, but we all need to do our bit, I think, is
I
the
think
key
so.
Thing there, don't we?
I, so, yes. And to be honest, what has been really fascinating for me is to see how quickly small businesses can diversify their business, a lot quicker than bigger businesses. And you're right when you said earlier that, you know, more emphasis is to buy supply chain stuff through smaller businesses because their turnaround time is so much quicker and you get a better service as well.
Yep.
So good on us SMEs out there.
Brilliant. Well, Tracy, on that note, I think what we need to do now is play a bit of music. And I have to say our brilliant producer, Nick, has done a great job for us because he's chosen a song by Elton John entitled I'm Still Standing, and I can't think of anything better to play.
Exactly.
So we'll see you on the other side of this.
105.9 Academy FM.
Biz Connect.
Promoting and connecting businesses in Kent and around the world.
Tweet us at Kent_biz.
Academy FM Folkestone.
Biz Connect.
The show that promotes and connects businesses.
Well, Tracy, we're incredibly lucky to have with us today our first guest, who is Chris Broom.
Yes, he's from the Discovery Development Park down in Sandwich.
Discovery Park. Chris is the head of business development. Chris, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Martin.
Great to have you on with us for our first show at our new home. Chris, just for the benefit of everybody out there that isn't necessarily familiar with Discovery Park, tell us a little bit about who you are and what you guys do.
Sure. So Discovery Park is a 220-acre site. It's a science, technology and business campus, formerly Pfizer's European headquarters. Who remain on site, but now it's a multi-tenanted facility across science, laboratories, office, warehouse, and we also have land for development. So it supports about 160 tenants and 3,500 employees currently on site.
Wow, so very much a sort of a multi-purpose site. Is that fair to say?
Definitely. I think we've got a good mix of science, research and development, some companies manufacturing as well, both in the science space, but also other product. And we also have land for development. Pretty broad mix.
So just tell us, I mean, how is it business as usual for you guys down there at the moment? I mean, how have you been affected by, you know, everything that's been going on over the last kind of couple of months?
So yeah, I wouldn't quite say business as usual. I think it's definitely been unprecedented for us and for many businesses, particularly challenging times. We've had to adapt to obviously the current situation and ongoing changes in legislation and guidance from government. A number of our tenant community were forced into making and adapting as well. I think it would be fair to say that our science community has continued on site largely unaffected, albeit some of their functions have gone remote as well. But a lot of our service sector and business sort of tenants were forced to operate from home.
Mm.
And it's been particularly challenging for a number of those companies, particularly those outside of the science and healthcare sectors.
Mm. And but you know, I mean, you mentioned the fact that you used to be a Pfizer European HQ, but Pfizer have been very much on site, haven't they, helping to kind of to fight the battle, as it were, and develop you know, vaccines and research in that area, I guess.
Yeah, I think they've got a number of manufacturing operations on site, and I think they've been featured quite heavily in the news for the work that they're doing around the global battle against COVID. I don't know what elements are being done at Sandwich, but obviously they've got global operations and are working with a number of other companies in that space to combat it at the moment.
So, I mean, every time I drive past, there seems to be something new that's going on down there at Sandwich. And at the moment, the thing that's caught my eye is on one corner of your extensive plot, I think there's a new hotel going up. Is that right?
There is. So I think when we went into lockdown, end of March, construction had just commenced. It wasn't too much activity going on. And certainly as I've been back to site over the last couple of weeks on and off, I think we're now at the sort of second story. So the construction's taking a pace, and I believe they're scheduling end of this year for completion.
Right.
Hopefully the hotel will be open, if not the end of this year, early next.
Fabulous. And can you tell us who it is that's going in there?
Yeah, certainly. It's a travel lodge.
Travel lodge. Fabulous. Okay. And obviously that will help to service the kind of, because I mean, as well as serviced office space and obviously very much a sort of a science park in origin, you've obviously got a huge event centre and conference centre kind of facility there as well. Is that right?
Yeah, I think it will service the general business community for, and particularly for some of our events and conferences. We were a little bit disadvantaged in the lack of hotel accommodation actually on site for events that span more than one day. Obviously, we're in a slightly difficult situation with events at the moment and social distancing, etc. So most have been going virtual, but I'm sure next year, when hopefully things return to some sense of normality, that the travel lodge and will be a welcome addition to site, and particularly for conferences, and help us attract those bigger conferences and events.
Yeah, it's very exciting. But I mean, going sort of hand in hand with that, I think you've got some other retail plans as well, haven't you, for space on the site. So tell us a little bit about that, Chris. What's going on that front?
So there's a planning. We've got a planning application currently in for a garage and associated retail units that will be drive-through, coffee shop. There'll be a convenience sort of store which will complement what we've currently got on site. And I think sort of looking further afield, it would be good to, our plans are looking at sort of a pub restaurant facility. I think that's what's missing at the moment, and I'm sure our focus will turn to that later this year, early next.
How exciting. And what about residential? Any plans to put any housing on there? Or
we do have plans, outline plans or outline planning permission for up to 500 residential units. There's nothing currently. I think we're working through sort of planning conditions at the moment and feasibility studies, etc. But yeah, there's nothing currently being built on site, but certainly it's something that's in the mix to develop the park.
And I mean, I'll just bring Tracy in here. Tracy, that's quite an interesting sort of model there, isn't it? If you look at the likes of Kings Hill, for example.
Yeah.
And Chris, I'm sure you've got your eye on this as well. You know, as a sort of a role model for what it could become, you've got a really nice mix there of, I mean, you've got golf course, you've got football club, you've got obviously some large, multinational businesses, smaller businesses, and you've got residential, you've got supermarkets. I mean, I guess you haven't got the space that they've got, Chris, but, you know, that kind of model, is that something that you guys aspire to moving forwards?
Yeah, slightly different. I think Kings Hill has got several thousand acres, so every time I go to Kings Hill, it's definitely changed. A lot more housing going up and schools. I think they've got two schools, two primary schools now. So I don't think we're quite on Kings Hill's scale.
Level.
But I think on the flip side, we've got different, we've got obviously laboratories in the science side, on the manufacturing side as well. So we slightly differ in that respect. Future plans for us include a manufacturing village focused on sort of science, R&D manufacturing, as well as the sort of the retail side and the residential potential.
Right. So you're very much kind of looking towards a sort of medium to long term then, in terms of the planning and and how you kind of see the park developing.
Definitely, and I think we just need to or we probably won't know what the fallout of coronavirus has been on on our plans, like many other businesses, and whether that will start to sort of filter through to the housing market and some of those other sectors. So I guess the next 6 to 12 months will give us an indication as to where we need to be and what the future might hold for our plans. You know, if the demand changes, then we've got the space, etc., to capitalise on that.
Yeah, it's a huge site. I used to work at Pfizer many moons ago, and it was like, even when I worked there, it was like its own little town. And the buildings are amazing. I haven't been there for a while, so it'd be interesting for me to come down and have a look at the site as it is now, because I just remember walking from my office to the export department, which used to take me about 20 minutes to walk it. And we used to have our own bus service into Sandwich itself, and dentists and,
really?
You know, restaurants and shops and things. You know, you didn't have to go anywhere. Yes. And it was amazing even back then.
Yeah.
And it is a huge site, so I'd be interested to see all the development, and especially you saying about like the manufacturing side, it sort of goes hand in hand with a lot of the stuff that you've got working out of that site anyway. So it's going to be exciting when things start to really build up again.
So I mean, Chris, we talked about smaller businesses that you've got on site, and I think you've got, is it in the region of 160 or so smaller business tenants as well resident on site?
160 tenants in total.
In total.
And that's a mix from, you know, your startup one man bands all the way through to multinationals like Pfizer and Mylan. Right.
So, I mean, as a small business owner, I mean, Tracy and I are both small business owners. What's the attraction to, and what can you offer someone like us, you know, looking to relocate, you know, perhaps a single person or a kind of a small business up to sort of 10 people? What can you actually offer us at Discovery Park in terms of space and kind of collaboration and networking and everything else? How does it kind of work down there?
Well, clearly we have a number of offices that will suit all manner of size business, from single occupier offices, co-working space, right the way to sort of HQ functions, and those will all suit an all manner of budgets, really. But I think our biggest asset really is the community. We don't see ourselves as a pure landlord. We do like to integrate the companies on site. We do like to promote collaboration and innovation, knowledge transfer among them, and it's that community setting that I think is our biggest asset. You're not just we don't just plonk you in an office and leave you to it. We do try to make those links between our tenant community and help those businesses do business with one another.
Yeah, and I think that's the key point, really, isn't it, Tracy? Because I mean, you go to lots of, I mean, what you offer, I guess, is an all-inclusive package, so I don't have to, you know, I pay you a monthly rent, which includes my utility bills and things like that, I'm assuming, so I don't have to worry about any of that. Is that how it works, or?
Yeah, I mean, it's a mix, to be honest. So we offer leases, typically a year or longer, an office space, and that will include a rent, service charge, and then utilities on top of that. The service charge will cover things like the maintenance of the grounds, etc., security and things like that. We have on-site facilities, restaurants, cafes, we've got a gym on site. So there's a number of different things that we can offer in that campus setting, as well as the networking opportunities.
Which for me is the key, I think. You know, it's that whole, you know, when you go to other sort of serviced office space environments, a lot of businesses seem to be, and all businesses obviously have to, you know, operate within their four walls, as it were, but they seem to be quite sort of isolated, and there doesn't seem to be a lot of interaction between those businesses, despite the fact they're all under one kind of roof, as it were. But, you know, your approach is obviously to get people out of their offices and to get them kind of mixing and talking and doing business, I guess.
Definitely, and I think we've seen a lot of that with, particularly among our healthcare community, and particularly at the moment with coronavirus, a number of them are incredibly busy. Mm. But actually, a number are working together and feeding off one another in terms of business opportunities. Mm. So
yeah.
We've seen collaborations between one or two companies on logistics and working with sort of patient samples, etc. But also on the office side as well. So it's been quite good to see that collaboration and businesses doing well off the back of one another.
Mm-hmm. And are you starting to see more and more tenants coming back now to site as opposed to kind of remote working? Is it building up again on that level?
So certainly occupancy is increasing on site steadily over the last sort of month to 6 weeks. I wouldn't say it's increasingly in great numbers. Mm. I think obviously as we come into the summer months, people have got annual leave and also the children being off, I think, has certainly had an impact on overall numbers. Mm. But yes, certainly we're seeing more businesses now return to site. We've put a number of measures in place. We are a COVID-19 secure site. We've complied with government guidelines. We've got risk assessments in place, which we've shared with our tenant community so that they can feel safe for their employees,
fantastic,
visitors to return to site. So I'm sure we'll see more in the coming months. Hopefully we'll get back to normal numbers.
I mean, you've got protective screens up in sort of reception areas and things like that as well, which is all very helpful, I guess, just to reassure people that do visit the site.
Yeah, no, we've got all the measures in place. Mm. So we've looked very carefully at government guidelines and, our main priority is to keep our visitors, our staff, our tenants and their staff safe.
Yeah.
So we've put the measures in place to respect social distancing of 2 meters on site.
Mm-hmm.
We've got those protective screens, increased sanitizer stations across site, mm-hmm, increased our cleaning regimes, mm-hmm, adapted our restaurants to take out only, removed some sort of common seating to promote social distancing as well.
Yeah.
It's incredible, isn't it, Tracy, how businesses like Discovery Park have moved, in such a relatively sort of short space of time, have moved to a whole new model and a whole new way of kind of doing business and keeping people safe. So it's a credit to all businesses that have been able to reopen on that
basis. And I like the fact that because you do and really try and promote a community, although they are individual businesses, they are a community, and they're all helping one another through this period, which is really good, and fundamentally in the future. And it's good to have that kind of community.
I know the Chamber of Commerce run networking events down there as well, Chris, which are always very well attended. So it's obviously what people want. So that's the key thing, and that's what we're all in business to do ultimately, is deliver what our customers want. So
And I think like all businesses, we've had to move away from physical networking events at the moment, this current time, and we've moved them into the virtual world with online webinars and networking events, etc. I'm sure that will be the norm for a few more months at least.
Yeah, I'm sure that will stay with us regardless, actually, some of that. But, from my point of view, you can't beat a bit of face-to-face networking. It's very difficult, I think, to do business development remotely, isn't it? I mean, that's your job, business development, for the whole of the site. How do you find that, in terms of, talking to new potential customers? I know you like to attend a lot of medical conferences and things like that, for example.
Yeah, I think the most of the conferences have gone online, and I think that by and large technology works quite well for delivering sort of sessions, etc. I think the difficulty the online events have is this replacing the physical networking and breakouts and things like that. I don't think there's really one that I've attended that's done that successfully, because everyone's sat remotely at their desk and probably carrying on part with their day work as well. So I don't think the virtual conferences really have cracked the physical networking aspects. And I don't think they can, to be perfectly honest.
No.
I think it'd be very difficult for them to replicate that.
And there's nothing to stop people meeting face to face. I mean, I had my first, you know, new business meeting, as it were, last Monday. And, you know, we were both delighted to be in the room together face to face, you know, because we're all fed up with
fed up with looking at our computer screens at one another.
Well, yeah, we've had a number of new tenants take space during the pandemic and view space during the pandemic. So yeah, we've been doing viewings on site. Mm. We've had a number of film viewings as well, or film recces come down to site.
Yes.
So I think they like the fact that we've got that space and a variety of different sort of spaces where they can shoot parts of their film. So
that's really encouraging.
Meeting facilities as well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is really encouraging, because I know that's an industry that is really shut down. You know, the kind of the entertainment industry per se. So that's really encouraging to hear. Chris, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
You're welcome.
Do give us a quick shout out, if you can, for how people can get in touch with your team at Discovery Park, whether they're interested in, you know, conferences or office space, for example, whether that's co-working or single office or kind of multi-occupancy kind of office space. What's the best way to get in touch with you guys?
Probably initially via the website, where you can get further information, but you'll be able to pick up our telephone number on there, and also our email address, which is just pretty simple, info@discovery-park.co.uk. But yes.
105.9 Academy FM.
Biz Connect.
Promoting and connecting businesses in Kent and around the world.
Tweet us at Kent_biz.
Academy FM Folkestone.
Biz Connect.
The show that promotes and connects businesses.
Well, you're listening to Biz Connect. It's our inaugural show. Still to come, we've got Brian Downton from Downton and Alley Associates talking about, amongst other things, what's going on in the mortgage market at the moment. But we've also got a couple of fantastic tracks coming up from Craig David and Take That.
105.9 Academy FM.
Biz Connect.
Promoting and connecting businesses in Kent and around the world.
Tweet us at Kent_biz.
Academy FM Folkestone.
Biz Connect.
The show that promotes and connects businesses.
Well, Tracy, I think it's time to talk to our second guest today.
Yep.
And that is the fabulous Brian Downton from Downton and Alley Associates. Brian, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Martin. Great to be on the show.
Lovely to have you on. Brian, just for the benefit of all our listeners out there, can you tell us a little bit about Downton and Alley and who you are and what you do?
Yeah, of course. So, Downton Alley Associates, we're a firm of mortgage and financial advisors based in Dartford. I've been running the business for 20 years this year, so it's our 20th birthday this year.
Happy birthday.
Thank you very much. we give advice on all areas of financial planning. Specialist area is mortgages. We also deal with pensions, investments, protection. And we do a lot of corporate stuff as well, so protection and lending for business customers.
Right. So, I mean, Brian, you mentioned mortgages. I would imagine that, you know, nobody has ever kind of gone through what we're going through at the moment in terms of, financial services and financial planning. It's new territory for everybody, including yourself.
Yep.
Tell us a little bit about what's going on in the mortgage market out there at the moment for people to, to be aware of and perhaps ask kind of more questions about.
Right. Well, I think, funny enough, actually, the effect on the mortgage market so far has probably been far less than we saw in the financial crash 2008-2009. I think primarily because of the help that's been put in place by the government. If we're looking at existing customers with a mortgage, there's obviously been the mortgage holiday scheme, which all lenders signed up to. They are basically instructed by the government that if somebody contacted them and said, listen, we've been affected by COVID, we've got to struggle to pay our mortgage, then they were instructed to give them a mortgage holiday for 3 months with no effect to their credit rating. So that was probably the one of the biggest bits of help that the government gave, because that was, it didn't matter whether you were self-employed, whether you were employed, whether you run a limited company, whether you're a sole trader, a partnership, that help was there for you if you got a mortgage.
Mm-hmm. So you may not necessarily have been feeling, the kind of the direct financial pain over the last couple of months as a result of being furloughed, because first of all, you may well have been paid 80 or 100% of your salary if your employer made up the difference. But in addition to that, you've been able to to stop spending on things like mortgages and take a holiday.
Yeah, there's also been mortgage holidays launched for, life cover, critical illness cover, income protection plans, also for some insurance policies as well. So, there's been a lot of help there.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the main thing to bear in mind with the mortgage holiday is that, they're not giving you the money.
Mm-hmm.
All they're doing is saying you don't need to pay your monthly payment for the next 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
But they are adding it onto the mortgage.
Right. Yeah. So the interest is accruing.
Which is why people need to think very carefully about whether to do it or not.
Right. Okay. So the interest continues to accrue. Is that right? Is that how it works?
Your interest carries on accruing. And let's say, for example, your monthly payment was £1,000 a month. Then at the end of the mortgage holiday period, your mortgage is £3,000 higher than it was, would have been at the start.
Right. Mm. Okay. So in terms of where we are now, Brian, and kind of looking to the future, is this scheme coming to an end, like the furlough scheme, for example? So we're now in a situation where employers are being asked to start contributing towards national insurance and things like that. Employers can bring people back into the workplace on a kind of part-time basis, the furlough scheme is kind of prorated accordingly. What's going on with mortgages? Is that now coming to an end, that mortgage holiday period? Or
so most people who took the mortgage holiday at the beginning of the lockdown will be coming to the end of that holiday.
Mm-hmm.
It has been extended for another 3 months, so lenders are able to give a further 3 month holiday to people. Again, with all the same provisos that it'll be added to your, the payment will be added to your loan. You're then talking about maybe £6,000-£8,000 added to your mortgage. The lenders are potentially looking at any applications for an extension more rigorously, should we say, than they were originally. The first payment holiday, pretty much, if you ask for it, you got it.
Mm-hmm.
This one, potentially the lenders may ask you a few more questions about how you've been affected by everything and by the lockdown, so that I can get a better idea, I suppose, about your true position. And I think also get an idea whether actually there's likely to be an issue with your mortgage payment even after the second 3 months.
So it sounds to me like the criteria might get a little bit tighter. It won't be an automatic yes then.
That's the, in theory, I think some lenders have gone down the route of an automatic one again, but a lot of lenders will be asking you a few more questions than you were the first time
around. And in terms of, product availability in the marketplace, Brian, what did it look like sort of pre-COVID? Was, because I remember after the last, financial crisis, in many ways we were just kind of finally seeing the back of that, weren't we? It took sort of nearly 10 years to see the back of that in terms of, levels of deposit and loan-to-value ratios and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
Where were we kind of pre-COVID and where are we now in terms of kind of product availability for people out there that, perhaps want to move their mortgage? Perhaps they're coming to the end of a fixed rate term, for example. What does the marketplace look like?
Yeah. Well, pre-COVID, we were we will never get back to where we were post or pre the crash, quite rightly, because credit was too easy to get. But we had got to a position where finance was available in most situations and was priced accordingly. I don't think, to be honest, a huge amount has changed through the lockdown. Lenders are still keen to lend.
Mm-hmm.
They have tightened up their criteria. They'll look at, say, for example, if you've been furloughed. That is one of the questions they ask now on their applications.
Mm.
But even if you're currently furloughed, potentially you can get a mortgage because a lender will use your furlough pay rather than your normal pay.
Mm.
So if you're getting 80% of your salary on furlough, the lender will use 80% of your salary for assessment purposes.
Mm.
So you can still potentially get that. The rates are still as low as they were pre-COVID.
Mm-hmm.
We've got, for a decent loan to value, we've got fixed rates at 1.25%. So again, historically low. The mortgage finance is still there. We're finding a few service issues with lenders because a lot of their staff are still working from home. So, you know, things are taking longer than they were previously.
Mm-hmm.
We're still having a few issues with valuations.
Wanted to ask you about that. Mm.
So the valuations closed down during the lockdown.
Mm.
Valuers were not allowed to, they weren't classed as essential.
Mm.
So they were not allowed to visit properties and do valuations. So the effect that they had immediately was a huge backlog of either valuations that were in the pipeline when we went into lockdown, plus any that were instructed or needed during lockdown. So there was a huge, so when the valuers were allowed back out again, there was a huge backlog, which I think with some lenders, with some valuers, we're still trying to catch up with. So quite typically, if we need to instruct a valuation today, it's quite normal for the valuation to be booked for 2 to 3 weeks' time.
Mm.
Whereas probably pre-COVID, it would have been 2 or 3 days. So that is a slight issue for us. But
my other question around...
Move with the times.
Yeah, of course. My other question around that, Brian, was, you know, if you're a homeowner looking to sell or, someone that's looking to buy, how do you value property at the moment, in the midst of this crisis that we're going to be, stuck in for quite some time? How can you be certain that you're not overpaying, for a property? How can mortgage companies be certain that actually, that is a fair valuation for a property at the moment?
Yeah, there's a number of ways, really. So nothing's changed as far as how the valuers value the property. The lenders have actually started doing as many valuations as possible using electronic valuations, so which actually in some ways are better than somebody going down there.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, it's using historical data, it's using data that they've got from maybe properties they've already lent on, it's using data from the land registry so they can see what other properties have sold for.
Mm-hmm.
But all of that is data that the valuers have always used in order to value a property, and that won't change.
Right.
If your question is, are we going to see a drop in prices over the next 3 to 6 months? Who knows?
Mm.
Possibly. At the moment, we haven't seen any evidence of that. We haven't really had any valuations lower than expected. But whether that will continue, we've seen a huge demand since lockdown was eased. I think a huge amount of people came out of lockdown with the view that if there was ever going to be another lockdown, they did not want to be in the property they were in. So there's been a huge demand to buy properties at the moment.
Especially if they've got gardens.
I'm lucky enough to have a garden. I can't imagine what it would have been like through lockdown without a garden. Really dumb.
So for those people that are listening that are really worried about their mortgage payments and how they're potentially going to get themselves out of this situation, what advice would you give those guys out there?
Speak to somebody like me. I mean, we're quite happy to have a you know, a conversation about somebody, if somebody, you know, should they take a mortgage holiday, what's the implications of a mortgage holiday, that sort of thing. We're quite happy to give free advice there, so give us a call, or any other mortgage broker, any mortgage broker, you know, if it's any good at all, will be quite happy to give that advice. And if you're looking to move, if you're looking to see what you can do post lockdown, see what your options are, again, you know, our initial advice is always free.
I think a lot of people out there are, you know, bearing in mind their mortgage payment is probably the largest payment they have outgoing every month, and it is the roof over their head, that I can imagine that there's lots of people out there worried about what potentially could happen, and you know, where to get that advice, and, you know, that's right, speak to a mortgage broker.
What about, how does the kind of insurance market look at the moment on that, Brian? Because obviously, you know, you would have been able to insure mortgage repayments sort of pre-COVID. Can you take out a new policy now to insure your mortgage repayments? How does that work?
Okay, so two sort of areas there, really. So there's the life cover and critical illness cover side of things, where... We've still got policies there. It's taking longer to get reports done if any medical evidence is required. And the lenders are asking more questions. They are asking, you know, all the providers have added in questions, you know, to find out if you've suffered or had any symptoms of COVID. So that's all being done. As far as income protection, the other side of things, it's still a little difficult. Certainly mortgage payment protector is not there at the moment. But income protection, again, yes, although they're asking more questions, for somebody who's self-employed and they're looking to make sure that, you know, they're protected if something should happen, then the plans are still there. But with a lot more questions.
Okay, well, that's good to know as well. So there are still some kind of safety nets there for people as well. And I guess, as you said, you know, the key thing is, if you've got any kind of concerns or questions, you just need to kind of put your hand up and talk to an expert and get the right advice, which you offer in the first instance. I'm assuming you would offer that free of charge anyway.
All of our initial advice.
Yeah, fantastic. Well,
give us a call for a chat.
On that note, how do people do that? How can people get in touch with you to kind of to pick your brains, as it were, if they are worried about their mortgage at the moment?
So plenty of ways. So obviously there's a good old-fashioned phone. You know, I'll give us a call either on the mobile or the landline. We've got email. We've got the website. Social media. We post a lot on social media.
Yeah.
Hopefully interesting information about, you know, stuff that should help people. Any of those ways, call, email, website.
Give us a shout out for your website then, because I would assume all of that's on there.
www.downtonandalley.co.uk.
Downtonandalley.co.uk. Brilliant. Brian, thank you so much for that. It's it's one of those areas, I think, the more questions you ask, the more questions you need to ask. So, you know, it's obviously there's a lot of information out there, and it's just a question of talking to the right person and getting the right advice, I think. So thank you so much for coming on, Brian. It's been brilliant to talk to you.
Yeah, brilliant. Thank you.
And we wish you well in your endeavours and helping people over the next few months. And hopefully we'll get you on again, maybe towards the end of the year, to kind of see where we are and see how things have shaken out. But for now, thanks very much, Brian.
Thank you.
Brilliant. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
105.9 Academy FM.
Biz Connect.
Promoting and connecting businesses in Kent and around the world.
Tweet us at Kent_biz.
Academy FM Folkestone.
Biz Connect.
The show that promotes and connects businesses.
Well, thank you for joining us today. I hope you enjoyed our first show with Academy FM. Hopefully you'll be able to join us in 2 weeks' time. We'll be back doing the same thing with some excellent guests lined up on the 20th of July. So have a great fortnight, guys, and wish you well.
See you then. Bye.
105.9 Academy FM.
Biz Connect.
Promoting and connecting businesses in Kent and around the world.
Tweet us at Kent_biz.